Drawing room over here.
It's been a huge year for my guest in the drawing room tonight, from Disneyland to the Melbourne International Comedy Festival and even a live on-air proposal. Amazing. Now comedian Geraldine Hickey is getting ready to perform her show Things Are Going Well at the Melbourne Fringe Festival this month. She joins me in the drawing room tonight. Geraldine Hickey, welcome.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well. I have to ask the most obvious question.
Yes.
I'm an obvious person. Why are things going so well for you right now?
Oh, do you know what? I wrote this show last year, and since performing it, more things went well. And I was like, maybe I'll have to change the title of the show to Things Are Going More Well. But things are, I just kind of was looking back at the past year of my life. I think I do this with every comedy festival show that I write. And I just kind of look at back at things that have been happening. And I kind of went, well, everything's good. I've got nothing to complain about. There is no significant dramas happening. It's just like, oh, everything's, you're kind of ticking all the boxes in life. So go ahead and try and make that funny. So
how do you make that funny? I don't want to be rude, but it's not that funny.
It's not that funny.
I find people who have lives where everything's going quite well.
I know.
Often can be very boring.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Well, I just...
I'm not saying you're boring, but, you know.
No, I know, but that was the thing. Like, when I was writing it, I was just like, why would people be interested in this? And, like, who cares that... I guess I had to try and find a way of making people care that I care. And I think it's kind of that infectious joy, I guess. Like, when writing the show, I try to think of a feeling. What do I want the audience to feel when they leave? And for that show, it was like, I just want them to feel joy. So it wasn't just about my life and things going well for me. I just wanted people to, like in the audience, to kind of stop and look at their life maybe with a different perspective and think, oh, do you know what, things aren't that bad. Or, you know, because I think with comedy, it's all about tragedy plus time equals comedy. And I just wanted to take the tragedy out of it and make it, you know, joy and whenever you want equals comedy.
You performed Things Are Going Well for the Melbourne International Comedy Festival this year.
Mm-hmm.
How has the show changed or developed since then?
It hasn't. Have you
made any alterations out of interest? Like, or do you just go, yeah, nah, that worked?
I think because it was there may be a few extra jokes in there, but I haven't performed the show as a whole since the comedy festival. So now I'm like in that mode of, oh, what are all my jokes in it? So it may change a little bit because I may forget something, but it's certainly whilst I was doing the show during comedy festival, there was like 22 shows that I did, so it certainly evolved over time, you know, but not too much. Like, you know, I might, add an extra joke in here and there.
So you were nominated for the Melbourne International Comedy Festival Most Outstanding Show Award.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty exciting.
Oh, one of the highlights of my career. I got a text message. Oh, like, obviously, I got a lot of text messages.
Clearly, because things are going well for you.
Yes,
and people who are having things go, are getting lots of text messages.
It was so great. But I got a text message off another comic, Reese Nicholson, who had previously been nominated for this award. And he said, congratulations, it's a feeling that will never go away. And it's true, it hasn't. I still kind of, every now and again, I'll remember that I've been nominated for the most outstanding show at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, and it's one of those things where I never thought that I would be amongst the people that have been nominated.
Why not?
Oh, because we're comics and we always doubt ourselves and we always think, you know, we'll never be that. I kind of just have been in that mode of I try not to compare myself to other comics, and I go, just run your own race.
Race do what horses, you've got to don't do. Look back.
Yeah. And then it was the you know, it was always, it'd be nice to be included in that list, but it was never something that I was actively going, oh, why can't I be there? And I don't know. It was to be noticed by the industry that I love so much was, yeah, it's still, I still get so excited by it.
What is it about being recognized by your peers which is so significant to us? There's something about the people who do the same stuff saying you're doing that well, which is particularly meaningful.
I think because they get it. You know, when another comic says, oh, you're doing great, they know what's involved in what you're doing. So when they recognize the work that you've put in and the results that you're getting, it's like, oh, yeah, that's what makes it good.
So what is the work that you put in, like writing a show like that? How do you approach writing a show like that? Do you have a particular sort of method that you go about it?
Yeah, a little bit. I work with a director, a good friend of mine who's directed my last few shows, and it's, I'll use the director, that's a term I use very loosely, Rachel Davis, and we kind of sit together and just talk a lot. And so it starts with an idea. Like right now I'm, you know, thinking of next year's show. So it's, you know, a good over 6 months before the show starts where you've got to come up with like a title of a show and a blurb, what's your show going to be about? And then you kind of have to write it. So for me, writing is at this stage, it's the really early stages of kind of coming up with concepts and ideas. So going with the title, and then a few months down the track, like getting closer, it's just getting up at open mic nights, just getting up at any comedy night I can and just trialing.
So you do the trial and error thing.
Like, yeah, how's this gonna sound? I just get up and I'll have like 10 minutes and I'll go, I've got to try this bit out. And I'm kind of starting to do that now, and then it's kind of putting it all together. So it's, yeah, recording it, going back, listening over it, like finding out what works, how's that bit going to work with that bit, why are we putting this together? Like to do a show, it's got to have structure as well. So it's like, what's the point of this? Mm. And why does the audience want to listen to this? And how does it all flow? And obviously that's where Rachel comes in, very handy. So, but yeah, it's a long process of just kind of sitting in bars at night time, just going, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do, and just kind of having this loose idea and getting up in front of an audience and trying to make them laugh.
On RN, I'm Patricia Carvelis. Geraldine Hickey is my guest in the drawing room. She's gearing up to perform her show Things Are Going Well as part of the Melbourne Fringe Festival this month. Your trip to Disneyland.
Yeah, mate.
And a hilarious story about Splash Mountain in particular made it into the show.
Yes.
How often are you just experiencing everyday life and suddenly think, there's a joke in this?
Oh, I think I try to make everything I do in life, like I don't think there's a moment, because I do breakfast radio as well, so there's not a moment in a day where I'm looking around thinking, I can talk about this on the radio or I can use this as material. Certainly, I didn't go to Disneyland or go on Splash Mountain with the sole intent of writing a joke about it. It's just, that's what happened. And I try to, you know, in any experience that I have, I'll, you know, I might make something up and try and make it funny, but
embellish.
It's just, what's that?
You'll embellish.
Absolutely.
Oh, but yeah.
I'll also tell some big fat lies.
Do you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All for a joke, you
know.
Well,
you do anything to make people laugh, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
You've also got another big project in the works for this year, Metrosexual.
Yes.
What's Metrosexual?
Very good question.
M-E-T-R-O, sexual.
Well, it's a new TV show. It's kind of they're 10-minute episodes, and it's a show that I'm in. It's called Metrosexual because it's set in a metropolitan sexual health clinic, and I play one of the doctors. And it was certainly an eye-opening experience getting to play a doctor in a sexual health clinic. There's so many camera shots where it's my face between women's legs.
Right, that's not awkward at all.
I don't know if it was more awkward for the actors that had to lie there or me, that they were like, oh, they kind of all of a sudden, you know, were there going, oh, I didn't think about this bit. And I'm like, neither did I, but here we are. But, yeah, it's a show that has obviously covers content that I think has a really important message, a lot about sexual health and the things, you know, common myths that are out there and kind of dispelling them. And, yeah, it has a really good message. And it's funny. The guys that have written it have done a terrific job. And Riley Nottingham, my co-star, is really great. And it's got a great bunch of guest appearances from lots of people in it as well.
Now, you've also, as you mentioned, actually, been hosting the Brekkie Show on Triple R Radio in Melbourne for our national audience. It's in Melbourne. And your partner recently joined you on air.
Yes, right? She did.
She asked you a pretty important question on air. Tell me all about that.
Well,
that one coming?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yes and no. So she proposed to me live on air, and it was just before my birthday. And
was it a significant birthday?
It was my 40th.
Oh, right, yeah.
So, yeah, it was a big one. And, like, with birthdays, like, there's a lot of pressure on your 40th. Mm. It's a big one. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? So, at the start of the year, I said to my partner, Kath, I said, can you please just organise a surprise 40th? Because I didn't want to have to. That's just my way of not having to organise anything.
Yeah, it sounds lazy.
Or worry about it either, you know, because I knew that she would. But, oh, man, I thought, you know, in saying that, I was just expecting a party, but I got a 3-day event.
A festival.
There were stubby holders, so I guess you can call it a festival. But it started on, she came in live on air on a Friday morning, and I had my suspicions that she would
ask. That she was into you.
That what?
That she was into you. Yes. I was kind of had a strong feeling.
I had a feeling that she was. I had a feeling that she would ask me, but I never.
Generally.
What's that?
That she would generally ask you, not necessarily the medium for which she might ask in.
I never thought that she would ask on air in such a public way. We'd always. Because we'd spoken about getting married and, you know, that one day we would, but we'd also, like, kind of read about public proposals or see them and hear about them. And my reaction was always, oh, nah, oh, that's beautiful and it's great, but, oh, that's not us. That's, oh, yuck. But, you know, turns out it is us. And she did make it public. But also, you know, I've been at Triple R for 3.5 years doing breakfast, and a significant amount of that time we've been together. So it's kind of part of our lives. So, and it is kind of really is it's a community station, and it's community in more ways than one. So it's really kind of family. So it's kind of, I thought it was beautiful, but it was very, oh, we are doing this. Okay.
How did you respond? Like, you obviously said yes, right?
I said, of course I bloody will. Because I had to, you know, ham it up for
you did. That's what I'm thinking, because it's a performance. This is what I'm trying to explore, that it's actually a performance.
Yeah.
So you're not actually just performing for her, you're performing for others.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do you know what? There was a bit of a lead up to it. And she came in and she had all these gifts, and she was like, I've got some early presents for you, and these are also indicators of what's coming up. She bought me like the board game, The Game of Life.
Oh, yeah.
And in. Because I was in radio mode, and I was like, as soon as that came out, my brain just went to, oh, my brother and I had this board game when we were growing up. We played it. What board games did you have growing up? And, you know, just going into that, and I had this moment of, no, stop. This is not what this is right now. You don't have to do anything. You just have to sit here and let others that are in the studio, they've got control of this. You don't have to take over. And it was a real moment of, okay, just relax and let this happen.
You recently emceed the launch of Growing Up Queer in Australia book by author and journalist Benjamin Law. Mm-hmm. What was it like to hear all those stories? And I suppose, how did they compare to your own experiences growing up queer?
I mean, we've all got different stories. I think a book like that is so great to have out there because, you know, it's that classic thing of I didn't have that growing up and I wonder how much things would be different for me earlier on. Like I actually didn't come out till I was in my 30s. Yeah. Oh, okay. I did come out quite like in my, maybe when I was 20, 21, but only to a few people. And then it was like, I just didn't feel quite right. And I went, I'm not.
And so based on the kind of responses you were getting?
Just based on me not fitting the stereotype of what I thought a lesbian was. I didn't completely fit it. Do you know what I mean? Like I'd go to a gay bar and I would go in thinking, oh, this is, I've heard so much about this. You just walk in and it's like everyone accepts you and you don't. And it was like this moment of, oh, maybe they don't accept me because I'm not one of them. And, you know, and I just kind of went, I didn't, you know, dress the right way or listen to the right music and stuff. So I went back in. So having a book like that and being able to hear from so many different perspectives and so many different stories is going to create nothing but more love and acceptance, not just for other people, but for people for themselves.
I think that's right. Geraldine, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
Geraldine Hickey has been my guest in The Drawing Room. And if you're in Melbourne, you can catch her show, Things Are Going Well, at the Fringe Festival, running from Thursday the 12th until Saturday the 14th of September.